Tonight's message is much the same as last night's message. Much the same focus, emphasis, and thrust. But that's because there's the same spirit behind both sermons, amen. The same book that's based in both messages. So that's where we're at tonight. I don't want to apologize for that, but just be upfront to say that the focus is much the same. So just drink it in. Hear God's voice and respond to His Spirit and open your heart to His Spirit. So with that, let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 20 tonight. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll begin here in verse 11 through verse 15, the rest of the chapter. So here it is. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave the dead which were in it, and death and hell for the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer again. Our Father, I just to come to you tonight. Tonight I'm trembling and fearful. And I pray that you just calm my trembling heart, give me liberty, give me freedom, give me your anointing. Help me to speak your heart and your word to us here tonight. Lord, you have interest in this evening. I know you do. We just humbly ask, send forth your spirit. Give grace to your servant, Lord, and do with power, we pray. God, may the word of God have free course, and may it stir and challenge and awaken all of our hearts. Whether we're converted, have a clear conscience, or are wretched and lost, I pray that every heart will be touched by divine grace and awakened to these truths, O Lord. So important, so crucial, so vital. God, meet with us and bless us. Give us your grace, we ask. Lord, find every false and lying spirit in Jesus' name. And give your Holy Spirit here. Give liberty to this meeting, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage here is filled with awe and wonder and dreadful majesty. It's a tremendous passage. It shows us tremendous things that are majestic and wonderful and awesome. We see here in verse 11 that we have a great white throne.
Yes.
A great, massive white throne appears. Majestic and wonderful and awesome. A huge throne. A white throne. And it says here that the man upon this throne is so wonderful, so great, that at his face, earth and heaven just vanishes and it is gone, disappears, all is in oblivion because of the face of this great man upon this tremendous throne here. And we see here that all the dead from all the ages, of all the past years, are called forth and stand before this great, massive white throne, and this man on this throne with this incredible countenance. And they're judged, every man, according to their works. They have a sea also. You look at them and the sea, and also you have hell, because they're dead. And every person comes before this tremendous throne, and this great man, and is judged according to their works. Then we have here the final verse here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's the final end for the wicked. This passage here raises face to face of three things. First of all, the Almighty Holy God. We see God in His glory, in His beauty, in His majesty, in His awesomeness. see here the great day of judgment. Very clearly, two things you have already. You have the Almighty God, you have the great day of judgment, and thirdly, you have the terrible fate of the wicked. Three things are here before us. The Holy God, the great day of judgment, and the awful, awful fate of the wicked. In short, this passage takes us out of the realm of time and takes us right to the brink of eternity.
Right.
It parks you right here
right.
at the brink of eternity. What an awesome place to be. What a fearful place to be. Now this passage here takes us out a little bubble of time and takes us to that great and vast eternal realm of the infinite, infinite forever. It dispels the fog and the smog of life and reveals to you the eternal world in a very clear, clear manner. What a sobering place to be. What an awesome place to be. The brink of eternity is truly an awesome place to be. To stand and to gaze into that vast and infinite realm is truly profoundly moving to your soul. When that world becomes real to you, when that world becomes so crystal clear to you, that stirs up and beats inside your heart. Amen? Something amazing happens inside of you. So many things come right of our values and perspectives as we stand there and gaze into that vast, infinite realm. It helps us to see sin as it truly, really is, right?
Right.
See, it takes a whole new meaning as we stand there at the brink of eternity. The judgment becomes very real to you as you stand there at the brink of the vast, infinite realm. You see yourself as a poor, wretched, hopeless beggar. At the brink of eternity, and need his mercy, and need the touch from heaven into your life. You see God as a high and a holy God at once. God becomes big to you at the brink of eternity. You know, it has a way of recalibrating everything in your entire life.
Right?
Everything is altered. Everything is changed and refocused at that point. Just imagine if you're with me. If you suddenly notice that you begin to get a slight dizzy spell every once in a while, at work perhaps, at your home, you know, as you're driving, you get this dizzy sensation every so often. You're like, what's happened to me? What's going on to me? And as the days go on, the knots drag on, you begin, you know, it's getting worse, more severe. You get a little bit worried. So you call your doctor up and ask for an examination. And so you go to your doctor. He gives you all kinds of tests, MRIs, CAT scans, this and that. You go home. You let the results to come back. Then one day you get a phone call to the doctor. He says, come into the office tomorrow. I'll talk to you about your test results. So you're kind of shook up. Why not on the phone? Why go to the office? So you go there, meet with him, after some small talk, and shake his head. He said, listen to me. I have news for you. The results came back that you have a tumor in your brain. In a very bad place. The location is such where I cannot operate it'd be lethal, it'd be fatal. It's a cancer tumor growing very rapidly. We're sorry. You have about 6 months to live. And it's over. I'm sorry, that's just the results. You know, at that point, everything will change in your entire life.
Right.
Everything will look so different. Things that were so important to you were just simply not made a hill of beans to you anymore.
Right.
What was not important at all of a sudden become very important to you. Everything will be altered. Everything will have a whole new meaning. The entire world will just shift and be recalibrated. Because now you are standing on the brink of eternity. And that changes up the deep inside your heart. And that becomes real to you. Amen?
Right.
Amen. When eternity becomes real, everything changes and looks very, very, very different. Tonight, I want to speak to us about the reality of eternity. The reality of eternity. First of all, I want to know briefly that Satan works very hard to keep us from thinking much about eternity. He knows the effect and the power of these kind of thoughts. He will do his utmost to keep that far from you, to keep that far away, and to keep you focused right here on the here and now, the temporal things right around you. No thought of death, no thought of the hereafter, no thought of the world to come, only the temporal, only the here. to him. Those thoughts are dangerous to him. Very dangerous. You know, it's much the same as a hog being fattened to the slaughter. He enjoys each kennel of slaughter. He enjoys each feeding, each rooting in the mud pile, each wobbling in the mire. He is enjoying the bliss of a good, good hog pen. No thought that in a few months could become sausage and bacon. That's far, far away. He enjoys his slaughter pail. He enjoys his feeding. He enjoys his rooting in the manure. He's blissful and happy. No thought of that. You know, we are much the same way. We are much the same way. Enjoying the here and now. Enjoying this little thing right there for me. My work and all these things. And that's not all wrong. But when that world becomes distant and far away and blurry, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. The devil loves that. He delights in that. But when you become anxious for that world, then he becomes very anxious. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Our whole society militates much against this too. Amusements all around us. Recreation, fun, money, and pleasure are all before you all the time, every day. And it's all about the world to come. The temporal is how we live way too much. These are all distractions that we all face and that we all have warring against us all the time. But tonight, let's push it all aside and pull back the curtain that I just said. Pull back the veil. Let's see the world to come and make that world become very, very real to us. Let's ponder it deeply. Let's gaze at it longly. Let's bring it very near to us and have it affect our hearts and our lives. And tonight, if you are a child of God, a clear conscience, at peace with Him, hallelujah and amen. Bring that world very, very close. Renew the vision. Renew and recalibrate your life. Let it change you. If you're young tonight, if you're new tonight, bring that world very, very near to you. Bring that world very close. Let that be how you see things tonight. Have your life recalibrated. Get a hold of the brevity of life, the length of eternity, how fleeting your years really are. When I was about 19, that hit me so hard. Oh, that hit me so hard. What a good thing. What a good thing. Moses says, teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts into wisdom. When you look at the brevity of life in person, and the vastness of eternity, you are on the path to wisdom. You're on the path to righteousness and the fear of God. Oh, what a good thing. You know, that brings the fear of God. Eternity brings the fear of God, and that's our great need. As a good, healthy dose, a good, healthy shock of the fear of God, you are going to do so much good. So much good for all of us. First of all, I notice tonight the fact of eternity. The first point is the fact of eternity. There are many laws and many facts in life. Mathematics, gravity, the law of physics, the law of thermodynamics, these are all laws that are fixed. They're all in place. They are all indisputable, unalterable facts. No one can change them. No one can bypass them. If you try to, you will only prove it true again.
Right.
You know, and that's the same as eternity. It's a fixed law. It's a fixed fact that you cannot bypass. You cannot get around it. You cannot alter it. You cannot change it. It's a fixed fact in life. It stands before you as a great monarch and demands obedience. You cannot bypass the king. You cannot dodge him. He stands before you and he demands your submission to him. That's how eternity is. No one can bypass this law. God Almighty has created each one of us with a never-dying soul. Each one of us has that. A never-dying soul inside of you. Your soul will live on forever and ever and ever. That's a fixed law. No one can bypass it. No one can change it. No doctor can alter that. No scientist can change that. That's a fixed law for every human on this globe. I believe that God Almighty has put that sense in every human heart, an innate sense that my soul will live on forever and ever. And though man tries to squelch that and push it down, he cannot fully deny that reality. Something inside him tells him, you will live on forever and ever and ever. I think every non-atheist who draws his last breath knows
that I will live on forever and ever and ever somewhere.
Right.
I think Darwin knew as he drew his last breath, my soul will live on forever and ever somewhere. Dr. Dawkins, the great scoffing atheist, knew as he was dying that he will live on as an immortal being somewhere forever and ever and ever. Lastly, she knew that he will live on forever and ever somewhere. That knowledge is innate in the heart of every human on this world. Amen?
Amen.
And tonight, you know that deep in your heart that my soul will live on forever and ever and ever. This is seen very clearly in the story of Mary and Lazarus. Both those men died, and both were immortal, alive and well. They could see, they could feel, they could think. Let this fact be clear to all of us that we all will live on forever and ever. Eternity awaits everyone tonight that stands there as a monarch demanding obedience. And when you draw your last breath, you leave this life behind and you step into the realm of the eternal. You take that step from this life, last breath, to enter into the eternal realm. This life, all that you did, all that you loved, all that you pursued, will forever be past and gone and complete. Someday, we all will have to have gravestones to tell the world that we have existed. We'll be gone. No trace anymore. All that you loved and pursued will be gone. But yet, you'll be alive somewhere, forever and ever. You'll be experiencing the facts of eternity at that point. It'll all be over. You will then be in that world that unseen now, but ever so real. Ethan Merkholder tonight is alive somewhere.
Right.
His soul is alive somewhere. Amen?
Right.
Sid and Meeks. We all know him. He lives outside of food. Mr. Meeks is alive somewhere tonight. His soul is alive right now. He can feel. He can see. He can think. He can remember things back from years gone by of life here in Casey County. His soul is alive. Gary Eads, a dying man tonight. When he dies and leaves his life behind, he will yet be alive somewhere. The question is, where would he be then? That's the question. The question is, what will matter then is really what's important tonight. Amen? That's the important thing. What will matter then is really what's the important thing tonight. Our second point is the length of eternity. The length of eternity. How long is eternity? How long is forever and ever and ever and ever? How long is that? We're used to everything having a beginning and an ending. All things in earth are that way. You know, the service began at 7 this evening. We'll end here in about an hour. You know? Our days begin, our days end. The weeks begin, the weeks end. The months begin, the months end. The years begin, and the years end. Everything has a beginning and an ending. Businesses begin, and businesses go bankrupt. They start, they stop. Nations begin, nations topple. Everything in life is that way. But when it comes to eternity, all that changes. All that is altered somehow. It has no beginning, and it has no ending. It's endless expanse in both directions. Forever and ever and ever and ever that way and forever and ever and ever and ever that way. No end in both directions. Timeless, boundless, limitless, infinite, forever and ever and ever. Eternity knows no restrictions. It has no stopping point. It never runs out. It's never used up. It's forever, keep going on and on and on in endless, boundless space. It's hard to ponder, isn't it? It's hard to get a hold of. But when you die, you will experience that boundless, infinite, eternal realm. Now, I'm told that light travels the speed of 670,616,629 miles per hour. That's given. That is fast. At that speed, it has circled the earth approximately 7.5 times in 1 second. That's six. The globe circled in 7.5 times in 1 second at the speed of light. The moon is 238,000 miles away. You go there, one-third second at that speed. He moved from Earth right here to the moon in 1 1/3 second. That fact is already there. The sun is 94 million miles away. You go there in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. That's fast. 8 minutes, 20 seconds at light speed. Mars is 33 million miles away. You go there in 3.3 minutes. From here to Mars in 3.3 minutes. It is here. You travel that speed into eternity for 100 years. The only beginning to enter eternity. Right? Part of that. Circle the Earth, that speed, 7.5 times in 1 second. But travel that same speed into eternity for 100 years. You're only beginning to enter eternity. That's how big it is. It's infinite. You can only be entering it. How about 10,000 years? 10,000 years, that's probably about an atom length. Almost double that time. But that same time, from Adam's day to now, you're only entering eternity. How about a million years? No difference. You're only entering into the realm of the eternal. That's how long it is. Eternity is only getting started. You do that for 100 million years. Infinite. Think of a bird that would take one grain of sand off of 1 mile of ocean beach. Once every year. For we come to this 1 mile ocean beach and get one grain of sand, pick it up, and fly by. Next year, the same thing. The following year, same thing. How long would it take to have that entire 1 mile of ocean beach into the sand? A long time, right? How about 2 miles? How about 10 miles? How about 100 miles? How long would it take? How about all the beaches and all the sand, all the earth? One pebble each year. Eternity would only be beginning. Let that sober your heart. This is not 7 years. This is not 100 years. This life, my friend, is that big. Not even that big in comparison to eternity. The topic at hand, my friend, is very, very serious. Very, very serious. These are all very feeble pictures, very fragile, very intimate pictures to the reality at hand of eternity. Your life tonight, how old are you? Are you 70? Very few of any of you are that age. Are you 50? Are you 25? Are you 16? Your life is nothing in comparison to all the beaches and all the world being emptied by a bird once every year coming to get one pebble. That's not even eternity. That's like this in comparison to the vastness of eternity. But someday you will be there. Someday you will be in this realm. And what will matter then, and where you will be then, is really the big question at hand. Third point is the sobriety of eternity. The sobriety of eternity. There is hardly a more sober thought that you can conceive than that of eternity. What is more grave than that? What is more a consequence than that? Nothing. Nothing. Why? The why is this? I have three reasons. Number one, because eternity is final. Eternity is final. It is final and fixed. It's completely final. Eternity has no changes, no alterations. No trying it again. No do-overs in that world. Nothing at all. No trying life over. No, hang on. I want to try it over again. No, it's fixed. It's forever set. It's final and completely fixed, and it's forever set. No one can change it. Nothing can alter it. Like concrete. You can move it around at first, change its shape and size, the height and depth. But after it's set, guess what? It's set. Eternity is the same way. Once it's set, once you're there, it's final and fixed, and nothing can alter that. It's forever established. How you enter into eternity will be how you remain through all the ages of eternity. Nothing can change it. Nothing can be vamped. Nothing can have a recall. No, it's fixed. 6 and 7. As the tree falls, so shall it lie. As you take your last breath and as your soul stands, then will be how it stands. And all that come in each is in terms of you. You know? But this is tremendous joy for the righteous. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is an intense joy for the righteous.
Hallelujah.
What more blissful can you think than to have your course set in grace? Nothing can change that. Nothing can revamp that. No one can recall that. That sex, the joy and the bliss of that is incredible. And those that die in the Lord, happy are they. What bliss is theirs? What portion of joy is theirs? That all the ages of eternity, that my soul stands accepted and redeemed and blessed by the grace of God. Amen. Woe, but woe to those that die outside of Christ. Woe to those that take that last breath in defiance to God. Woe to those that take that last breath with a hard heart. Woe to those that die with a guilty conscience. Woe to those that have put off the day of grace. Tomorrow I'll get saved. Woe to them. Woe to them. Woe, a thousand woes to them. Because their course is set in the damnation of eternity. If you don't understand, that's how you remain at all the coming ages.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
If you die, live warm. That's how I'll be here all the ages of eternity. And my heart is cold and passive and lukewarm. Woe, woe to me. If I die with hidden sin, my course is forever fixed. With my hidden sin still being there only to be exposed on the coming judgment day. If I die planning to get saved, well, maybe next time I have meeting. Maybe next time God will fix for me. You die in that state. It's fixed. It's concrete. No one can recall that. No one can call it back and repeal that. No. It's fixed. And it's set forever. There's no getting born again then. You get that? There is no being born again then. There is nothing like getting right with God then. No, that's only offered now. That's only offered when the concrete is still being poured after it's set up. Six. There's no finding peace with God at that point. No, my friend, it's over. The day of grace has closed for you. No more offered to anyone else. There is no repentance in that world. That gift is only offered here in this life. There's no altar call speech response to then. There'll be no one to pray with you. And at that point there, that's only here in this life. There'll be no moms and dads to plead with you, repent my son. No more of that. No more of that. That's all over. No more of mom saying, listen, my daughter, listen, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. No more of that. No more confession of sin offered at that point. That's only available here. They're only available in this side of those doors. Once you pass through them doors, there's no more confession of sin. There's no more preaching for you then. To call you back to mind, to call you back to salvation, to call you back to grace. No more preaching for you then. No more preaching. You want it all you want. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone from you. Too late. Too late, my son. How you enter eternity will be how you remain forever. That course is fixed. Everything then is final, final, final. Get that. Once you take that last breath, it's final. How you are with God, you draw your last breath, fixes your eternal state forever and divine confidence. With the stamp of God unchanging on your life. Second reason why it's so sobering is because eternity contains judgments. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. Judgment awaits us all in eternity. You know, all will be there. There is no missing disappointment, no calling to God and saying, well, maybe in a year from now. No. That is not your call to make. It's appointed to die once. After that, appointment for judgment that no one can bypass. All will be there. All will be there. The rich and the poor, both will be there side by side. The mighty and the weak will both be there side by side on that day. Sinner and saint alike will be there on that day. King and pauper will both be there. Joe Biden will be there. Clinton will be there. Donald Trump will be there. Joseph Stalin would be there. Most Soskus, everyone would be there on this appointment. All would be there. Each one will come before God individually and answer for his own life. Each one. You'll be alone on that day. Nobody to deal with. No friend to comfort you. No friend to pass you in the back and say, you can do it, come on, you can do it, you can do it. Hang in there. Nobody to cheer you on that day. You'll be alone on that day. No one to deal with you. To give you comforting word or a nice text to cheer you on. No. None at all. You know, everything will be naked and open before the eyes of him with whom you have to do. Nothing hidden on that day. No rule over God's eyes on that day. No deception standing that day. No secrets at all on that day. All that you can put on this in this life that no one knew about. No police officer knew about this. No judge knew it. You watched your way out. Teacher didn't know it. Mom didn't know it. God will know every secret on that day. No deceiving the Almighty on that day. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. All will be there before that great white throne judgment scene. Throne is there. The Almighty is there, eyes of flaming fire, a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. You're there with no secrets, no friends, no buddies. And God says, answer for this. Answer for this. Answer for this. Answer for this. What will you say then? What will you say then? Alone, with no secrets. No thing that you had hidden well so good. Also, you blush to the portrayed right across the heaven before you yourself. You say, oh, he knew that. How did he know that one? And then another one. And another one. And another one. You get more and more red. You just triple up into a pile of embarrassments with guilt and condemnation all over you. Speechless before the Almighty. Those who are wicked may prosper now and have no consequence of his action. Not so then. Not so then. Woe to the wicked. Woe to those outside of grace on that day. This will be a horrible, horrible day for so many. So, so many. For the unconverted, how will it be for you then on that day? For the unrepentant, how will it be for you on that day? For the hard-hearted, how will it be for you on that day? Woe to you. Woe to you. Take it seriously. Look at where you're headed. Look at eternity and the judgment to come. How sobering is it to come to judgment of hard hearts, impenitent heart, treasuring up wrath unto the day of wrath, when the judge of all the earth looks at you and says, give an account. Give an account. Give an account. Those that live in disobedience to God's law, woe to them. Those that put off the day of grace, woe to them. Those that were lukewarm and half-hearted, woe to them. I want to say to you tonight, maybe you were baptized, and maybe you're part of this church. Are you lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? Don't fool your own hearts. Are you half-hearted tonight? That judge will spew you out of his mouth on that day. If you're half-hearted, if you're lukewarm, don't fool your hearts.
Right.
Your hearts lie to you saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace.
Right.
There is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. No peace for them. If your heart is indifferent and passive and cold, I want to humbly introduce you. Give some holy contemplation to what's coming ahead. And get serious. All on your knees and say, Lord, I'm going to abandon myself to you and light a fire in my heart of love for you, Lord. Forget the world. Forget my carnal friends and peers. I'm going to give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Let that be the passion that grows up in your heart toward God. For those who were friends to the world and loved the world, woe to them on this day. Woe to them on this day. For these it will be an awful day. These will face the wrath, the terrible wrath of Almighty God on this day. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. God will look at thee with burning eyes of flaming fire and say, depart, ye cursed. Depart, ye cursed. Loving God? Loving Jesus to connect the people? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Though he's full of mercy tonight and offering hope and salvation,
right,
those that die in sin will hear and see the finger of God pointing at them and say, depart, ye cursed.
Right.
The Holy God is nothing to play games with. This God is serious. Let this sobriety come into our hearts.
Oh,
Lord, help us. Many, 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 very many will be horribly surprised on Judgment Day. We understand that reality. Oh, Lord, help us. Many will be surprised on that day. Horribly surprised. Matthew 7:22 says that Christ himself warns us and says that many on that day will be horribly shocked. Horribly shocked on that day. Be surprised to come there. And they'll say, Lord, 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 I did this, I did that. I was a part of the church, I sang in the choir. Oh, Lord, I preached your word, I gave to the poor, Lord. I even offered books about you. Lord, Lord. That will happen. Now get this here, my friends. Too often for us to say, that's out there. That's in the nominal Baptist. That's in the Methodist stuff. That's out there in the, you know, the big man church. That's not big for them. But not us. No, not us. We are conservative. We have good standards. We believe in the head covering, modest dress, separation of the world, and on and on. Listen. That won't work then. Jesus says, many. I want to challenge this. I think too often we say, out there, it's that way. For them, they'll be that way. But for us, we are the remnants. We are the Anabaptists. We are conservative. We have good doctrine. We believe in all these things. I want to caution us. That might be carnal security talking to you and not the peace of God. Amen?
Right.
Many will say, Lord, Lord. And I think too often that comes very close to home. Very close to home. So he will say, depart from me, the workers of iniquity. And that includes the lukewarm. That includes the cold-hearted. That includes those that love this world. They are no friends of God, and God is no friend to them. God will say to them, depart, ye cursed. Depart, ye workers of iniquity. God requires holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And a holiness is more than this. Your doctrine, that's wholeness. That's being in the image of God. That's having the grace of God in your heart, coming out of your heart with wholeness and separated unto God. And without that, no man will see the Lord. No man. God hates sin. And he will let no sin go unpunished on that day. None at all. None at all. He will by no means for the guilty. Those that die in the sin and come there, he will not wait at their sin. He will not excuse and say, well, you are a preacher's son. You were a good person. No. Without holiness, no man will come in to paradise. I want to ask you, how will it be for you on that day? How will it be for you? Not for them. How will it be for you on that day? How will it be for you when you stand before that almighty God on that great white throne? How will it be for you then? God will not overlook you and say, well, you're pretty good. Without holiness, no man will get in. No man. How will it be for you on that day? Are you prepared for judgment? Are you? Are you ready to stand before that great white throne and have that great man look at you and examine your life? Are you in Christ? Is there holiness? Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing, and I will say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. That's a fearful thought, to fall into those hands. That's a horrible, horrible thing. One day, years ago, I was seeing here at Liberty coming into town for an appointment. I had a good reason, I thought, you know. Appointment, deadline, I want to go for it. I was. on their rapids. And I was cresting one hill, coming off of the hill there, I saw this car behind me, the nighttime, with bright lights right on my bumper. I'm like, what in the world? Am I in trouble or what? Pretty soon the lights came on. Oh, I pulled over. Okay, I'm in trouble. I'm toast. Let me pull over here and face it. Long story short, he gave me a ticket and said to go to the court a certain date. That day came, I went in there trembling. I went in there, found my seat there, sitting there quaking inside. Boy, I was shook up. The name show Walter was called, so I go up there with trembling legs, stand there before this judge. He read the charges to me. After I'm guilty, I said, yes, I am. He asked for an excuse. I tried. I said, well, I was late for an appointment. Deadline to meet, I was in a hurry. He said, hang on, that will not work. You know, I just melted. I was just like, how senseless, how stupid. What an excuse. He said, listen, that's no excuse. And he just gave the sentence and the charge. But you know, that's a feeble man. A feeble man. He's a judge, a feeble man. But how will it be for you on that day when the judge of all the earth is there before you? You're asking for your life in front of him. How will it be? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of that almighty judge. This judge, people find out, man, failing. But that judge is almighty and infinite, wise, all-powerful God. Her reason why eternity is so sobering is because eternity contains the eternal damnation of the wicked. Eternal damnation is indeed a terrible, terrible subject. No one wants to hear much about it, but it's so awful and so ugly and so cruel. It's such a wretched and such an awful, awful subject. But you know, Jesus often spoke about hellfire. He did. He often warned about hellfire. Mark 9:48. He says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's Christ's words about hellfire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is unquenchable. Matthew 22:13, he speaks of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 14:11, get this one here. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest. No rest day and night. That's a real place. That's a reality. That's no myth. That's no nightmare. That's the most imagination. No, that's a real place. That's a real, real place. You know, and many will be there. Many will be there. You know, and there are people right now, there are people that I know, I believe, that are there right now experiencing the torments of hellfire. There's people that you know, that you really wonder if they're there right now experiencing the wrath of God in hellfire. That's a real thing. That's a very real thing. The rich man is there tonight in the torments of hellfire. He has not lost his eyesight. He has not lost his memory, his feeling, or his thirst. He's still there tonight, writhing in the flames of hellfire, this very minute. Now I can imagine that he's there this very minute, pleading, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus to America and warn them of this place. Send Lazarus to Europe and warn them of this place. Hoping that sometimes Abraham will change his mind or soften up a little bit. I'm serious. That's reality. Or it could be, Father Abraham, please, some water. Please, some water, Abraham. Father Abraham, have mercy. That's reality. That's no nightmare. That's real for millions. That's a real place. As the flames go up, year after year, they're writhing in the agonies of hellfire. That's reality. That's no myth. That's no fable. That's no mind's good imagination. No. That's reality. You know, Jesus took hell very, very seriously, did he not? Oh, yes, he did. He warned it repeatedly. Repeatedly warning about hellfire. You know, the devil takes hell seriously, does he not? He is working. He is watching to get as many as he can into that place. You know, and the damned take God very, very seriously. Yeah. Only that they do. The rich man sure did. Oh, my, he did. Then the other nights, right in there, you know? And shall not we also? Shall not we also take God seriously? Too often it's like, well, yeah, it's real, but it's not real. But yes, it is real. It's a real thing that we should keep as a reality in our hearts. Oh, my, we shall. Tonight, try with me to picture damnation, eternal damnation, hellfire. Try your best. A place of outer darkness. Complete darkness. So much you can almost taste it, as it were. Almost feel it. Like the other day when the lights are all out. Have your hand past your eyes. Nothing at all. It's just so creepy dark. Times that by a million. Outer darkness. That's hell. That's hellfire. That's the damnation of hell. It's a place of complete total darkness. No light. Nowhere around. Also a bottomless pit. A pit that has no bottom. And you're cast into this place. You fall down on and on and on. And you look up to the top. It's going up there very, very rapidly. It gets smaller and smaller. And yet you fall on and fall on. Bottomless pit is falling. For months, for years, it's falling, falling, falling into the bottom of steps. That's the condemnation. It's a burning lake of fire and brimstone, a lake that's just heaving with fire and brimstone. That's hellfire. To be forever tormented by horrible, savage, beastly demons. These monsters just pouncing on you and tearing you up and just writhing your body in the flames and the intense abuse of their treatment to you. To be forever, day and night, tormented by horrible demons. To have every friend and comfort you lose, you taken away. Every comfort, every friend, far, far away. To have no rest, day or night. Months and years, infinite, infinite, forever. No rest, day or night. To be totally alone and banished by all. This totally abandoned, alone, deserted. To live in perpetual burning thirst, unable to get a drop of water. Rising until you're just so thirsty. No water, no water. Wandering, looking in vain for a way out. Some way to escape this. You stumble around in the darkness, ducking here, ducking there, dodging demons and all the torments. Looking for a door, looking for a crack, some way to escape. All in vain, no way out. Living in utter despair and misery forever and ever and ever. Living in utter despair, no hope, no hope at all. And forever remembering the day of grace you spurned while alive here on earth. Those thoughts plague me. I should have heard the voice of wisdom. I should have heard the voice of wisdom. Now wisdom is laughing at me. Now wisdom is mocking my calamity. Wisdom has turned and laughed at me. Oh, I should have heard that. I should have listened to my... But oh, it's too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Oh, too late. Reality. Reality. As we look ahead for thousands and thousands of years to come, all there is for you, for endless ages ahead, is more of the awful, unending torment and agony to stretch on forever and ever and ever and ever again. There you are. Lost and undone. Oh, oh. Ages to come, more of this. How can I stand it? But I'm trapped. Wisdom is laughing at me. Wisdom is mocking me. How can this be? I should have heard. I should have heard. I should have bowed my heart. Oh, I should have bowed my heart. Now, the day of grace is gone. This is eternal damnation. This is real. Oh, this is real. Tonight, they're in there rising in this. Tomorrow, the same. In the next week, in the next month, in the next year. For ages and ages, ages and ages to come, more of the unending, horrible torments. Many will be surprised when they awake and open their eyes in the flames of hell. They will be. Many will be shocked to wake up and say, me here? No. No, this can't be. No, this can't be. But they're here. They're there. They're locked forever. Oh, they're locked forever. But how will you tonight, how will you escape the damnation of hell? How will you? There's one escape route. There's one ramp off of this highway of hell. One ramp, one exit. Take that. No other way works. There's many ways. There are false ways. There are deceitful ways. There's one true way. But I ask you, how will you escape the damnation of hell? 1 Peter 4:18 says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If the righteous escape as one of the skin of the teeth, just barely make it as it were, where will the half-hearted be? Where will the indifferent be? Where will the floaters be? Where will the coattail riders be? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Oh, this is serious. Let it grip our hearts, my friend. Let it grip your heart. Where will you be? Where will you be then? I don't think that we take God's holiness and His wrath seriously enough. I think we toss around so flippantly the wrath of God. His holiness, no, that's sacred. That's serious. The wrath of God is an awful thing. It's a fearful thing. And may that be in our hearts. To the damned. To be damned and lost forever is an unimaginably horrible thing. To have your soul lost there is an unimaginable reality. Oh, unimaginable. A poem for you. I stood at a time beacon fortress where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. And strange from the fire of the faithful, I seemed and I fancied to hear, oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit, and I thought what a number I cost, for eternity stood up and broken by the groans and the sigh of the lost. Oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. I saw him in judgment splendor as he stepped to his great judge of seats, and thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who had laid many millions to slumber a death set of shade, shall reel in eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. Oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. Let us work while this day, brother, sister, for soon shall the Master appear to garner the wheat that we harvest, the chaff in his fury to burn. Then in haste, let us rush to the rescue. But few can be saved at the most. Soon millions shall be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. Oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. That's a reality that I want to press upon your hearts. And may that go home to your hearts. Eternity, eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. Last point here, the closeness of eternity. How close is eternity? How near is it? At the least, it's not far away. But for some, it is very, very near.
Right?
It is very, very near. Even at the door,
yeah.
It is close to many. For some, James 4:14 says, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. No choice. It's gone. That's your life. In your prime, as an 18-year-old strong young man, that's your life. A vapor that appears and it's gone. Then what? Eternity. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, or fadeth away. You're just grass. You're prime. You're as a flower of grass. We'll just be gone, forever lost. Eternity then. Our lives are very, very fleeting. So quickly it's all over and gone. So brief in our stay here on earth. Soon it'll all be over. All gone. You know, the candle of life is just extinguished so easily and quickly, is it not?
Right.
This one jostle, life candle is extinguished and gone and all over. Forever gone. And the sands of time run so rapidly, and there's so few of them. Soon, it runs out and gone. Then what? It's over. It's final. You know, I see youth dying around me all the time. Very often, at least. In their prime, life is just, the candle is just extinguished and gone. So often, my cousin Leon, in 2004, I think on June Sunday afternoon, he was young, energetic, ambitious, full of life, a fine young man, a great young man. He got his friends to go off on Sunday afternoon up to a mountain bike ride up in the mountains. Had a few vehicles going up there on the highway, stopped at a friend's house to get a few things, got back on the highway, take it back off, having a good time. Oh, a wonderful day. This will be a fun afternoon with my buddies, biking, ranting, having a good time. His friend, Ambition and Jeff, began to pass Leon. And as he passed him, he began to just literally crowd him off the road a little bit, just to have some fun, right? We're young and exciting and adventurous and thrilling. Leon got into the ditch, then overcorrected, and came back on the road way too fast, lost control, rolled the vehicle off as it was. I think he exited the vehicle up into the windshield, went over a cornfield, and crashed in the soil to lose his life at 17 years of age. The pen of life snuffed out like that. He was gone in his prime. You know, our life is so fleeting, so brief. So short, one small playful act can end it all forever. In a playful, playful way. Our friend and local boy recently left home in utter rebellion, defiant to his parents. On his bike, went up the hill, pushing it. Going in rebellion, leaving dad's home in defiance. Take his own course, 17 years old, in his prime, life is ahead of him, having a good time. I'm going to get out and have a good time. Leave that place behind. Forever. I'm done there. A man apparently couldn't see him up in the sun rays on the windshield, but he didn't see this young man pushing his bike. He approached him closer and closer and closer, then he hit him. To home, a strong young man that met his maker in his prime. For these people here, these eternity came quickly and suddenly. Quickly and suddenly, unexpected. In our lives are very fragile. Death could come to any one of us at any time. Eternity could begin tonight for you. The candle of life could be extinguished. The sin of time run out for you tonight. And tonight, God might say, come meet your maker. It's over. Eternity often comes as a lion jumping out of the bush to shock you and surprise you when you least expected it. Not this, no, not tonight. Must I die tonight? God says, yes, your life is over. Come. That's real. I want to say, don't play around. Make your calling and election sure. You can do it. Come to Jesus. He offers salvation. Come to the fountain and be cleansed. Come and be washed and forgiven. Come. Come to the family of God. Christ says, whosoever will, let him come. Come to Jesus and be pardoned. Come and be redeemed. Come and be washed. Come and drink of the wine of his love he offers you tonight. But if you don't, then he will mock when your fear comes. He will laugh at your calamity then. Tonight come or be laughed at then. Don't play around. Make your calling and election sure. So in closing, Are you ready for eternity? Are you prepared for eternity? How will it be for your soul then? How will it be? The single most important thing in all of life is not education, is not academics, it's not wealth, it's not fame and popularity, it's not good looks, it's not some great status quo. The single most important thing in life is to die well. That's the single most important thing in all of life. All that the world has to offer you, all that's here for you in this whole entire world, the most important thing is to die well. And that choice is yours tonight. How will it be for you? You stand before God Almighty on that day. Get serious, my friend. Get serious.
Yeah.
Deal with your sin. Deal with your issues. Deal with those things in your life. And get thoroughly right with God tonight. Get thoroughly. Take all the question marks off of your life.
Yeah.
Erase them all and get thoroughly 100% right with God. Not halfway repentance. Not no halfway surrender. Not no halfway entering the kingdom. No. Go all the way. Make your calling and election sure tonight. And it's fixed and written in the Lamb's Book of Life with that ink of pure gold by the hand of Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. Are you prepared? Are you ready to confess all of your sins tonight? Bring everything out of the hidden closets. Every small thing, every hidden thing, every door opened up and is everything drawn out unto the light. Thus and thus have I done. Are you ready for that? Is that your heart tonight? I'm going to confess. I'm going to dump my bucket last night and get everything out. Well, let's say repent. Repent of all your sins. Get everything and turn your back on your sin and set your heart. I'm going to go for Jesus. No more sinning. No more dabbling around. I repent and turn from that and turn 100% to Jesus. Surrender to God completely tonight. Surrender. Give that will up. Give it up 100% to Him. Sell out to Christ. Abandon everything to Him. Sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Everything given to Him. Make unconditional surrender. Make it. And tonight, what is your choice? What is your choice? Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? Don't hold out to only lose your soul in the eternal flames of hell. My last question for you tonight is, what are you going to allow to take you to the eternal damnation of hellfire? Will it be friends, reputation, popularity, some little hidden sin? Let that take you to hellfire. Let nothing take your soul to the flames of hell. May God give you His grace and save your soul from that horrible place. God bless you.